Glenn Beck.
The girls were giddy with excitement when the car pulled up. It was an older boy one of their friends knew. He asked if they wanted to go for a ride. Three girls jumped in the car. They thought they were going to go to McDonald's. Their excitement turned to fear as they drove past the Golden Arches and up to a vacant house. One of the girls, 12, was viciously raped. A month later, she discovered that she was pregnant with the rapist's baby. This 12-year-old girl, despite the pressure for her to abort or put her child up for adoption, mom kept the child. She dropped out of school. She went to live with relatives. She worked jobs, tried to support her and now her family. 8 years she's been doing this. But now she is forced to face her rapist once again. And this time because of the state. This week, the state of Michigan notified the attacker that as the biological father, he had joint legal custody, visitation privileges, and must start paying child support. As crazy as this sounds, this is routinely done by the prosecutor's office when somebody makes an application for state assistance. State assistance. The victim told the Detroit News, "I think this is crazy. I was receiving $260 a month in food stamps for me and my son and health insurance for him. They're just trying to see how they can get some of the money back. This is not a family. This is a felony." This situation is surprisingly not that rare in America. There are 15 states in the U.S. that have no law in place to terminate a rapist parental rights. And of all the 50 states, fewer than half have laws that allow the termination of parental rights to rapists without a conviction. These estimates put thousands of women at risk, a lifetime tethered to their rapists because they chose to keep their child. Because these brave women understood that the circumstances of their child's conception did not determine the child's worth. You comfortable with your daughter forced to relive her nightmare of a rape over and over again every time the doorbell sounds to pick up her daughter or her son? The rapist is there? These women need to be protected and celebrated for turning a traumatic event into a blessing. Protect them.
It's Tuesday, October 10th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. So I get home last night and I pick up the mail. And I get this magazine, and this magazine is, you know, this is nicer than, you know, a Neiman Marcus catalog or something, you know, a really nice, you know, slick, all pictured up magazine. And it's Dragon's Pride. This is the high school football magazine, not even from the town I live in. This is from a neighboring town. I don't know why I get the magazine. I think because there's a possibility that maybe someday I pay taxes to pay for the magazine. I'm not sure exactly. This is the craziest thing I have ever seen. It is this is the slickest magazine I've seen. This is like D Magazine or, you know, any of your city magazines.
Yeah, it's really good qualities. I mean, that's really slick.
Yeah, really slick. Mm-hmm. And you open up the back and look at this parting shot. Parting shot. Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of all of the shoes for the football team, the bottom of the football team, out of the box, preseason bling.
And the shoes are very nice. It looks like.
Yeah.
If you're
very
a college football fan, it looks like an Oregon publication where, like, they have all the crazy uniforms and the ridiculous new shoes. I mean, it's really nice.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. Okay, so I'm ranting to my wife about how many tax dollars are going for the stadium and everything. I start ranting, and then I immediately start in on our children. They're not going to be a part of any of these programs. They just need to be regular. Go out and play baseball with a stick out in the front yard. I get really bad.
Were you in your bathrobe throwing something at a passing teenager?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. You kids today. So,
dagnabbit, get out of my lawn.
I turn into that guy so fast. So I'm reading this article, and it's about number 48. And the great 48, Jacob Doddridge, dominates everything. And I don't even want to read it, because I'm just looking at the pictures and I'm like, look at the photos of these kids. And then none of them look like high school. This is a slick magazine. Okay. So then I read the article. I get even more pissed, but now not because of these kids, but because of my kids. Okay. Now listen to this. Friday night in Dragon Nation, the green and black pom-poms whoosh in the air and the football fans chant defense, defense from the bleachers. There's a good chance Southlake Carroll Sr., 48, Jacob Doddridge will answer their call. 6'3", 225-pound athlete, who the pictures, the guy is, you know, blonde hair, blue eye. He's a god. Okay. Piss me off. All right. The multi-position player packs the skill, technique, and raw talent to make him a standout on the field and recruit the colleges are eager to snap up. Before the first snap of his senior season, Doddridge had no less than 9 Division I football opportunities, including offers from Army, Nevada, along with FCS offers, and Abilene Christian and Houston Baptist.
Yeah, a lot of NFL talent has come out of this school. It's a big deal. They win state championships in Texas and such, yeah.
Doddridge is also hearing from Ivy League schools, including Columbia, Brown, and Yale. No doubt, due his football ability and his near-perfect 1450 SAT score. The average score this year is 1083.
That's pretty good. So he's an accomplished young student.
So number 48, I just keep reading, and I'm just looking at my son across the room like, what are you doing? So I'm reading. The team captain is ready to play. He's a team captain, too. Mm-hmm. The team captain ready to play where he's needed and do whatever it takes this season, not for himself, but for his team, helping teammates push harder. To be a good leader, he says, I can't be afraid to call somebody out. The more you care for somebody, the more you call them out because you want what's best for them. I call it success when everyone is proud on how they played. Shut up.
That's a very good perspective. I think you'd be proud of that. It is. Why are you comparing this to... I don't understand why.
Doddridge's heart is in the right place. On his Twitter bio, it gives his address. He writes, 1 John 3:23, love one... Okay.
This is exactly what you should be... You should be happy about this. This is seemingly the type of...
The 17-year-old student athlete puts in the work, attending football meetings at 7:30 in the morning, followed by classes. He loves U.S. history with Mrs. Colvin and evening practice. He tries to get the jump start on his homework during the school day, he does his homework so he can get to bed at a reasonable hour. The kid even wants to go to bed at a reasonable hour. It's all about managing my time. When I'm really tired, I won't do well in school. So I try to get at least 7 hours of sleep.
He's totally going to be president, isn't he?
Despite a packed schedule, Doddridge finds ways to help at home. Listen to this. Both my parents work, so sometimes I make dinner for them.
That's awesome.
When at home...
How many times have you had dinner made for you by your kids? Is that common or?
Shut up. He says, whether he's at home, on the field, or in the classroom, Doddridge wants to put a smile on his parents' faces. I thank God for my God-given talents, but also I'm grateful for my parents. They've always been there for me and supported me. I just want to make them proud. He's also a baseball player. He's also a star wrestler. Jacob is a rare breed. You ask his parents, coaches, teammates, practically anyone who knows him. He's intelligent, genuine, trustworthy young man who makes the greatest leadership impacts through his consistent positive example. If you want to a glimpse at the well-rounded scholar-athlete, just look at Doddridge. Not only does he excel in two sports, he's also a Carroll Green Jacket, an accomplished piano player, a member of the Honor Society and Young Men's Service League of Southlake, a nonprofit for mothers and sons who volunteer their time together.
And he has three cures for leukemia in the works.
I've gotten really close to my mom through the various service projects. It's been really nice. Finally, Doddridge's faith is also an integral part of his life. For the past 8 summers, he's attended Kanaka camps or whatever. I'm not smart enough to even read the stupid camp that he goes to. A Christian summer camp dedicated to developing the next generation of leaders. Each stay, he unplugs from the computers and cell phones for weeks at a time. He says it's worth it. It's refreshing to be around guys who are Christians. They're all good influences on me. I'm going home to beat my children.
A little dark there at the end. That's exactly what you should want, though,
no,
right?
It is.
That's
my
a
gosh,
great example.
It is amazing.
At least according to the promotional magazine that you received that was touting him.
But I mean, that's amazing. That's an amazing kid. His parents should be very, very proud.
And
the rest of us are pissed off. All right. Here's the reason why. I got up and I'm driving in and I'm listening to Doc on the Blaze Radio Network. And he's playing an ad for a new pop-up tent for millennials at work.
A work tent?
A work tent. Now, go ahead. Look, can we play this? Can we play this video? So it's called a pause pod at work or on the go. And what you do is you take this little pod and it's your private pop-up space free from stressful moments. Okay. And you just get in and it has a little reading light. You can zip it up and you can go into it and you can lay down in it.
Yeah, that's a foldable leg compartment.
Yes.
Which is a nice feature.
Yes. And it has a place, they call it a pod cinema, where you can hang your iPad. Mm-hmm. And you can lay down on the floor of work and watch movies.
This sounds great. I mean,
does that sound anything like what this football player would be doing with his time?
He's not bringing a pause pod to work.
You know what that is? That is my granddaughter has one. It has princesses on it. Okay. That's what that is. And we've raised our kids to be in these little teeny princess palaces. And then they go to work and they're like, I want my princess palace. It's too stressful here.
Mm-hmm. It's
you
true.
Zip yourself up in one of those little pause pods. I'm going to lock the zipper. You're never going to get out. We will physically remove you from the building.
If I could get away with doing this show in a pause pod every day, I absolutely would.
Glenn Beck. Seattle has gone full-fledged crazy. My grandfather's prediction of all the people that were too weird for California moving up to Seattle and they would wreck it has finally come true. Run by communist and crazy people, they are now changing and introducing new Miranda rights for young people. Here it is. In case you don't know, you know, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, blah, 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 blah.
Pretty clear, I would think.
Pretty clear. Not for Seattle. You have the right to remain silent, which means you don't have to say anything. Well, remember, this is for, they're saying that this is for young people. You have the right to remain silent. It means you don't have to say anything. It's okay if you don't want to talk to me. If you do want to talk to me, I can tell the juvenile court judge or adult court judge and probation officer what you tell me. You have the right to talk to a free lawyer right now. That free lawyer works for you and is available anytime, even late at night. That lawyer doesn't tell anyone what you tell them. That free lawyer helps you decide if it's a good idea to answer my questions. That free lawyer can be with you if you want to talk with me. If you want to start to answer my questions, you can change your mind and stop any time. I won't ask you any more questions. Yeah.
And so attorney is too complicated a word, so they've changed that to lawyer.
So this is not the new Miranda rights for youth. This is for dummies. That's what this
Miranda is. Miranda for dummies.
It's Miranda rights for dummies. I mean, it's not for youth. You have the right to remain silent, which means you don't have to say anything. Well, what do you think silent means?
They're thinking the word silent is too complicated for the youth of today.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. Do they have to say it super loud to get it through the pup tent?
No.
You can hear it over their iPad.
You don't have to unzip the pup tent for me.
Okay.
The pause pod. You can... I know you want to zip out the outside world because it's a little scary out here.
We want to make the arrest, but currently the leg compartment is fully utilized. So we're going to wait till they wake up and then we'll make that arrest.
This is being called by the interim deputy director of the Department of Public Defense, a partnership model for the reforming of the juvenile justice system. We put kids in jail and that could ruin their life. So we need to be really careful about when and how we do that. Yeah, I would agree with that, but, you know, kids, you know, breaking the law. This is what I was taught. Break the law, you go to jail, and you should be careful about that because it will ruin your life. Why is all of a sudden the state saying we should be careful how we do this? Well, yeah, unless they break the law. Then if they break the law... They're going to probably ruin their life. You didn't ruin it for them. They ruined it by committing the crime.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're worried about, and this is the way we are today, but we're worried about police and intimidating kids into false confessions and things like that. I guess that's...
Do we have a problem with that?
Well, I mean, have you watched any Netflix series lately? They're all false confessions. Yeah. Every confession's a false confession. Yeah, There's never been a confession.
I know.
Have you watched American Vandal on Netflix yet?
No, I haven't.
It's so good. It's like a mockumentary of making of a murderer, basically, of a high school where a kid spray paints a bunch of...
Yes, I've seen...
It's so good. It's so good. It's so well done. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, but it's really, really funny.
And what are they mocking?
They're mocking making of a murderer. Or making a murderer. What is it? Making of a murderer or making a murderer? Whatever that series was on Netflix. It's that new kind of true crime thing that's really hot right now, where they kind of give you, they walk you through a documentary and you go back and forth thinking the person's guilty and then innocent and then guilty and innocent. And at the end, you have absolutely no idea and you make a ridiculous prediction that's not even close to true. And then later on, tell all your friends you got it right. It's that one.
Okay.
It's that phenomenon.
Good.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck program.
So, in case you watched Monday Night Football last night, nobody is talking today about, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, thank God. What they are talking about had nothing to do with football, had to do with a trailer that ran during the football game last night for Star Wars. Here it is.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, truly special.
Something has always been there. Then I was awake. And I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
Let the past die. Kill it. If you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
So that's the trailer. It comes out right before Christmas for Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Tickets are on sale now, by the way.
I gotta get them.
For December 15th. Stephen Kent is with us. He hosts the Beltway Banthas podcast. And it is a kind of a mesh of
politics
and Star Wars, which is a perfect...
Doesn't get any better than that. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Thanks for having me on with you.
So Stephen, first of all, what'd you think of the little gerbil in there? I mean, is it another Jar Jar Binks?
Man, I think you're going to be very grateful for that gerbil. It's called a porg by the end of this movie. I mean, look at how dark this is going to be. I think we're going to need mountains of comedic relief and something cute by the end of this thing. So I'm on board with the porg. Let's do it. And it's not a Gungan. It doesn't talk. So that's a plus, right?
That's true. That is a very good point.
I do have to stop here and ask, what the hell? Have you ever kissed a girl? What? You know what the gerbil is called? What? Why?
Hey, Mike Allen had it leading his morning playbook today. I think it's a legit thing to follow these porgs thing in all their glory.
That was the big, I would say that there are two takeaways from the trailer, it seemed. One, that, you know, the young Backstreet Boy Darth Vader guy and the Luke Skywalker girl are going to basically team up or have some sort of relationship is what it looks like. And then secondarily, there was a little hamster driving the Millennium Falcon. Those are the two things that I feel like Twitter took from the trailer. Is that accurate, Stephen?
I think that's definitely what Twitter took from it. I think folks are looking at Rey and seeing that she is not going to have the typical hero's journey story that we are accustomed to seeing, at least in the vein of Luke Skywalker. I think what's notable after all of this is that you have a villain in Kylo Ren and a hero in Rey, who are both very confused about who they are and where they are going. And I think you're actually going to find a story by the end of The Last Jedi, possibly going into episode 9, where these two are in cahoots doing their own thing, possibly going a third way, rejecting both the dogma of the light and the dogma of the dark, and trying to find their own path. So I think this is going to leave a lot of people confused, some people really excited, but I think most folks are going to look at this and go, this is not the Star Wars that I'm used to.
This is a third party. They're starting a third party.
They are making the third party of Star Wars. I think that that is basically the tale of our time, is it not? I mean, in many ways, these are two young characters who I think represent a lot of the angst and confusion of young people today who are coming up and enjoying Star Wars and also just horrified by politics, right? And they are going to try and chart their own path forward I mean, millennials, you know, they're the non-religious generation. They are the increasingly independent generation when it comes to politics. And I just see in Kylo and Rey this incredible reluctance that just feels familiar to me as an observer of politics as well. You see it in the trailer where Kylo Ren is looking at his mask again, and he just looks disgusted at it. I mean, he just does not like what he has done and where he is. And I think that this is an incredibly compelling story. I'm quite excited now after this trailer, after having been, I think, more than a little bit nervous about where this was going.
I like bringing Steven on because then I can act like I don't really care about these things.
Let him
be the smart one. I don't even know. What's that? The Darth what? I don't even remember. But it's true. I mean, there's so many parallels. And I don't know, Steven, is this intentional by them? I mean, are they just trying to make a good movie? Or are they trying to reflect some sort of political thing going on right now?
Well, Star Wars is always good when it's reflecting some sort of political thing. We saw that in the original trilogy. You know, really echoing the 1980s, the sort of United States versus Soviet Union dynamic. And then we also saw some hints of the real world, more than a few, pop up into the prequel trilogy. Star Wars reflects the time that it's in. And when this trilogy got started with The Force Awakens, I think I was with you, Stu, and I looked at this and I saw a lot of laziness and rehashing of old themes and old ideas. But then we also know as students of history, people who follow politics, that things repeat themselves. We are in a horrible place in global politics right now. And here in the United States, with old ideas, things like fascism, Nazism, looking us in the eye again. And now I'm looking at stormtroopers. I'm looking at this sort of cult that worships the empire called the First Order in these new movies. And I'm going, you know what? This isn't actually a rehash. This is about as real as it gets. This is what happened.
So, I have a great amount of respect for Lucas and what he did, you know, in studying mythology and everything else. I thought he did he's crafted a brilliant story. What kills me is Star Wars is timeless. You're right that it does comment on the times in which we live, but I don't think it's necessarily intentional. It just is a timeless story. This is the story of mankind always, no matter what time you're living in. But it kills me that the people in Hollywood that make these things, they don't notice sometimes that they might be pulling for the dark side.
Sure. I think that that's definitely something that we have to look at as well. And you are right. I mean, this is a timeless story. The United States is not the center of the universe, particularly when it comes to the battle between good and evil. Star Wars is a global franchise. It has a huge audience abroad. So this is drawing from all sorts of political themes that everybody can relate to. This is the human story, the light versus the dark. But yeah, I mean, with Hollywood, I think this is just kind of what you have to come to expect. Yeah. There are certain things that they ignore about their beliefs, but then I'm also encouraged sometimes when I see things like Star Wars and these ideas come out there. You know, like with Saw Gerrera in Rogue One, he was sort of that Che Guevara-ish type rebel who didn't want to play by the rules of the mainstream rebellion. And while they could have romanticized that character and been like, oh, well, this guy's great. You know, he's actually going the violent route, really taking it to the Empire, the Empire's way, which is the wrong way. They made it out that he was sort of like the Darth Vader of the rebellion. Mm-hmm. He was half man, half machine. That's not someone who you want to be. You have to give up a part of your humanity if you're going to fight evil with evil or fire with fire.
So speaking of evil, when you saw that Disney bought this, did you at all have a moment of, I don't know who could do, I don't know who would wreck this storyline faster, George Lucas or Disney?
Oh, man, you know what? I'm pro Disney these days. Kathleen Kennedy, who's helming Star Wars, I think she gets it in a way that George Lucas might have not at a certain point as the creator. I think he had his, the goggles on or something. Like he didn't see at a certain point that he needed some challenge in the studio. I mean, you know, the prequels were made almost entirely by him in terms of the screenwriting, the directing, and the production. Awesome. He had nobody to tell him no. And I think that Star Wars, as sort of a collective project where you have a bunch of different creatives in the room working on it, you're going to get much better outcomes than with the mastermind who actually, you know, himself personally favored benevolent dictatorship, George Lucas. So I'm going to go with Disney on this one. George Lucas had his shot, and we saw how that went.
Steven, biggest comparison to Star Wars in today's political realm?
So I heard one the other night that I actually really liked. It's probably not the biggest, but I thought it was really compelling, which is something that I mentioned earlier about Rey and Kylo as sort of the millennial story. And I know Stu likes to mention this all the time about, you know, you have Kylo sort of the emo millennial Sith, and he's just sort of trying to be a Darth, but he can't. And I think that this just, I don't know, this just feels like the story of our time. This young man who thinks he is one thing, but it turns out he might be another. I don't think it's a secret to you that identity and sort of being confused about where you stand on the spectrum is part of the politics of our era. Everybody is trying to find out who they are while the spectrum is kind of being flipped upside down. So I think that this is sort of what we look at when we see the closest parallel, confusion about identity. Where do I belong? Where am I going?
Steven, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You check out Steven's podcast, Beltway Banthas. It is it's that meshing of politics and Star Wars. We've seen that recently with sports. And I know that's one of the things that entertains me, and I hate to bring it into that world, but he does it pretty well. And and of course, he's obviously the ultimate Star Wars geek, as you could probably tell by him identifying the hamster thing driving the Millennium Falcon.
It wasn't the hamster thing to him.
You said it was a gerbil. I thought it was a hamster.
Whatever.
He thought it was a...
No, he knew what
it
was.
He knew what it was, exactly.
He knew what it was. He didn't think he knew what it was. Most Americans only have a couple of days of non-perishable food in their homes, and if an emergency strikes, grocery store shelves are typically bare within hours. What's happening over in Puerto Rico is just a crime. I mean, these are American citizens. If this was happening over in Florida or Texas or any place else, and we didn't have electricity for this long, I think America would be up in arms. But I guess we're doing the best we can. This happens from time to time where the government screws it up and you are on your own. And I've never believed in first responders being the cops or firemen. We're the first responders. We're the ones there. So having food storage for an emergency scenario means you don't have to deal with not being able to eat in a crisis. You'll be able to help the people down the street. My Patriot Supply has the solution. I've depended on them for many years for my food storage, and you can too. This week, get their 102-serving survival food kit at a special price of less than $1 per serving. You can order today, get really good breakfast, lunch, and dinner shipped to your home for free at 1-800-200-7163 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. It's dependable emergency food storage. You can trust the seasoned experts at My Patriot Supply by calling 1-800-200-7163 or go there now, preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck.
So Steve Bannon was on Sean Hannity last night and said something that I'm trying to get my arms around. Here it is.
Remember, I said, I'm going after the Republican establishment, and we're going to go after them. We're going to challenge. There's a coalition.
Give me the states.
There's a coalition coming together that's going to challenge every Republican incumbent except for Ted Cruz.
Wait, hold it. What?
Wait, except for who?
Except for Ted Cruz?
Because wasn't he the main target number one like 6 months ago?
When the president was sworn into office, it was we're going to run people against him.
They were going to create super PACs to run candidates against Ted Cruz. He was the one they were mentioning most. Now he's the only one they're not going after? This is really confusing.
I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. What happened?
I don't know. Cruz seems to be voting the same way he's always voted.
I know. Other than the Mercers, who that's the real money behind Bannon.
And they
also like Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that the Mercers said, lay off of Ted Cruz?
That's certainly possible, right? I guess that's...
Because Ted hasn't done anything that I know of that's been kissing up.
No, he's...
He's not being a jerk, but he's not kissing up.
He hasn't... I mean, there's been other, you know, Flake and Corker, and there's been certain senators who've really taken him on, and Cruz has avoided all of that really since the campaign. I don't think that he's... I mean, he stood up for... I haven't seen him vote in a way that has made me think, oh, this guy's sold out, right? I mean, he seems to be still supporting full repeal and replace, and... I mean, he did go along with the healthcare plan and stuff like that. He did eventually vote for it, though he had issues with it. But I mean, it's an interesting thing that the guy, he was enemy number one. This guy, he was basically Satan for 6 months.
Oh, no,
and now he's the only guy they're not going after. I mean, look, I think that's good, and I don't think you could beat Ted Cruz in Texas. But still, I don't. You know, that is a strange turn of events, man. It's hard to keep track of who's friends anymore.
And the other thing is, I mean, I am not for the Republican establishment, but really going after everyone? There's nobody good. Everyone?
Glenn Beck.